JSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. I'm Stefan Christoph, and this is edition 301. Thanks for tuning in. On the broadcast this week, I'm sharing a conversation with Istanbul-based photographer Larisa Araz. Larisa has done some really meaningful work that explores the contested identities of minority communities in Istanbul, particularly the work of women photographers of past generations. Of course, today, commonly understood in political and cultural landscapes, Istanbul is depicted as an Islamic city culturally in the context of Turkey that presents a cultural landscape defined by an identity of a majority Muslim population. Of course, this projected national identity has been contested by many in Turkey over a long period of time. And one point of contestation has been those with cultural and religious identities of minorities. Of course, historically, Istanbul has been a diverse city with many different communities, migrant communities, including Armenian, Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox, and others who have migrated through the lands of what is today Turkey, including migrants from Asia and beyond. Larisa's work, I think, is meaningful and moving because it speaks about her efforts to go through the archives and speak about the work of artists from communities of minority identities in Istanbul, and particularly women photographers and visual artists. It was really moving and interesting to speak with Larisa about her work. So here's our conversation for Free City Radio. Larisa Araz, you are based in Istanbul, and from what I can sort of picture around your work, there is an intersection of different mediums: photography, film, also research work that speaks to the complexity of identity in this region. So we're talking about what has been called Asia Minor. You know, we can unpack that term, but also the Balkan region. I think that there are certain narratives around this area that I think are interesting to talk about from the vantage point of an artist. One is sort of this line that separates Turkey from the rest of the Balkans, which, if we look into history, is clearly doesn't speak to sort of the fluidity of cultural and economic and social ties. And the second is sort of a narrative that paints regions that clearly have a deep cultural relationship to Turkey, what's called Turkey today, as sort of little cousins of the EU that are being saved. So we're talking about, you know, Bosnia, Kosovo, and sort of a belittling of this region as sort of, you know, a region that really has been saved by NATO. And, you know, I think anybody who's hearing this probably, I think, would understand. But we're talking about, of course, going back to the wars at the end of Yugoslavia. I know that's a little bit of a departure from what you do, but I do think that your work speaks to the complexity of identities in Istanbul that sort of can be an interesting window to think about some of these points. But anyways, first to start, maybe you could just introduce yourself and first just describe for us a bit about your practice, just so we can sort of situate and understand what you do.
Sure. Thank you, Stefan, for inviting me, actually. Thank you for this opportunity, actually. It took a long time for me to call myself an artist, actually, because I was always wanted to be a journalist first, but that journalism died, then I became an artist, actually. I, as you said, have different mediums on hand, actually, honestly, but I started as a photographer, and as that, like, talking about journalism, I always wanted to be a photojournalist, but then as I was more into the practice, I realized the problems of photojournalism, and it goes along with it. So that's how I actually shifted from it. And photography was kind of, when I was researching on topics, photography was always kind of problematic in the sense that it was always one layer. There are so much layers, and photography wasn't giving it because of two dimension probably. But there's always this image making, and text writing was always in the practice, because an image changes with the caption, and that's the narrative changes rapidly. And most of the times, photographers, for me, I mean, I guess it changed. I added more mediums to my practice when I realized most of the photographers are liars. I mean, the photojournalists of the 90s I'm talking about. Now photography has changed totally after the genocide actually going on. So, because the victims are taking the photographs, and that's a total different thing than the photographer taking the photographs. Anyways, that's another topic that we can go and delve into. So now more or less my mediums are like image making, and that could be a sculpture as well. But it always starts with the research, and the research that I'm doing are always kind of the stories. Because I was raised in Istanbul and like raised in the system of the like Turkish educational, national educational system, there were always these like absences of many, many historical narratives. That actually my family comes from, because my family, also my own history, comes from various ethnic backgrounds. And most of the times we were always displayed as the traitor, the enemy, and you're always questioning the subjectivity of your own citizenship or not, like your belonging to the land. And that's how I actually started my research. Like most of the topics that I'm researching are actually embedded within my own family history, but also you can find very various forms in different ethnicities within the borders country, let's say the region, because I think Turkey was a failed nation state project that didn't work out as any of the nation state projects actually. So there are many, many stories to unpack, and there is always this. Literally, there's always this part in most of the stories or like researches that I'm doing that it's so shocking that it could be fictional, that you don't really understand that it's real. Like how you're questioning that, how can this be real? But as you come from, like if you come from this part of the world, most of the stuff that's going on is actually unreal, as we're watching right now. And so these are the things that I'm looking for, like look for or like try to unpack. And most of the times I unpack it for myself, for my sake. I try to create myths that works for me, the belief systems that works for me. And I try to create these different narratives that's kind of questioning the dominant ideology that was kind of like given by the institutions in Turkey. That's why most of the installations that I do, I mimic institutional tools like the lightning, the darkened space, this authority, because I have a big problem with authorities, I guess. So this is how I like kind of this is what I do most of the times. And
thank you. Larissa, clearly for those hearing this, we're talking in late summer 2025, and you're talking about the genocide that is taking place in Palestine. Referencing that in terms of what you said, if you're hearing this online. And also, of course, if you're hearing this on the radio. So you talked about failed nationalisms, right? And I'd like to unpack that a bit. I'm looking at different, projects that you worked on. One recent one is ongoing, as it's listed, Lost Reference List. And it seems to sort of kind of mediate between more an archival practice, but also like very physical engagement with photography imprinted into physical format, which I think is very interesting in the contemporary context, because bringing things off the screen into a physical space for people to gather around and to engage with, even as an artist, to engage physically with these images, I think can provide new frameworks of meaning. So please talk about that, but also maybe talk about that in the context for people who maybe are hearing this. And when you say, you know, nationalism in the context of Turkey has failed, and you reference that more broadly, just unpack that a little bit for people who might not be familiar with what you're talking about. Thank you.
Yeah, totally. That project has started with me coming across with an artist through another artist friend. So artists are actually kind of the archive keeper of other artists in a way. Hera Büyüktaşcıyan, a good friend of mine, great artist, was doing and curating a show about the 1964 Greek expulsion from Istanbul. And there were two big migrations that happened from Turkey. One was 1922, and after the independence war of the Turkish Republic, after the Ottoman Empire collapsed and the Turkish Republic has established, there was an agreement between Atatürk and Venizelos to send most of the Turks in Greek land, Muslims, to be honest, and the Greek mainland right now, and the Greeks in the Turkish borders right now, like nowadays Turkish borders, to exchange these populations, vice versa. One of the biggest migration had happened in 1922. And in 1964, there was another population exchange. It was after the Cyprus War had started. And it was kind of Turkey had decided that anyone who had a Greek passport, and most of the Greeks in Turkey that stayed, that were kind of was untouched on the 1922 population exchange, had Greek passports for a second citizenship, for safety, because most of the minorities in Turkey still, as from my personal experience, have this always this idea that you can be spendable, you're spareable, you know, you can be sent away very easily, you can be sent away very easily. Anyways, so in 1964, whoever had the Greek passport had to either leave the passport or stay with the only Turkish passport or leave the country. And most of the Greeks, by that time, they had many, many events that happened in 45. There was a taxation law, which they had to give like many, many, many, like 100%, 200% of tax, because they were just Christians or Jewish, and to the government. And there was like pogroms that happened in 6-7 and September 1955. There was always a discrimination against non-Muslims in Turkey. And most of them have left. So she, Hera, was doing an exhibition about one of these migrations. It was the anniversary of it. And she came across with an artist called Ivi Stangani. And we never knew who she was before. Like, her name wasn't in any books. And we learned that she was one of the assistants of a very, very known Turkish artist that shaped the Turkish art history, actually. And she was doing all of his shows in Paris, in Athens, you know, everywhere, when he was called to exhibitions and all. And she had a very good practice on her own as well. And she was forced to leave Turkey in 64 when she was probably, if I'm not mistaken, 35 years old. So this is where this is the break point of an artist's life in most of the cases in Turkey. 35, and then you move to you're not emerging anymore. You become established, I guess. Whatever. And she was one of the creator of a very known artist collective called Onlar. She was like a core point, and she was a very important person within the intellectual circles of Istanbul. And she left, I mean, she was, they tried everything. They wrote letters to the ministries, but she left with nothing. She can only took 20 kilos with $20, as with every other Greek, by the way, migrant at that time. And she left all of her drawings, everything, and she went to Athens, where she, we, like, in, while she was researching, and then there was a book came out few years later, and we, when we read the book from her letters, we see that she says that I came to a country where only I speak the language, but I'm not from this country. This is another country. This is not my country. Only the language is kind of similar. And she got into a depression soon because of financial difficulties, and she had a one-year-old. She was a mother at that time, and she was kind of ostracized from the society. And at that time, it was like very difficult for Greeks who rooms, we call it, the Greeks in Asia Minor, to when they migrated to got into the Greek mainland, Greek society, let's say. There was a discrimination there as well. So she became very depressed and she stopped painting. And when I was in Athens, when I was researching this story, I met her daughter actually. And she was also very sad because she was like, she was saying that my mom was a very good artist and nobody knew about it. Not, and only right now she's coming up more and more thanks to feminist researchers, art historians. But again, Greece is kind of like putting a blind eye to it, I guess, because it's like a traumatic past to kind of acknowledge as well, like this whole population exchange past. But she was like kind of, she held all of the drawings that she did on the last, like just before the, before she quit. And they were all very gloomy, actually. And then when I was like, learning the story as I was researching, I was shocked that there was like, for me, it was a revelation, because as I am in this art practice, I don't know much about any other minority artists before me, apart from Hera and my generation. And we're like 3-4 people, by the way. And I'm talking about a very big population. And how come there was like no one? So I started researching about other artists that were existing, mostly women, and how they're erased from the history through motherhood, through financial difficulties, through these traumatic and government policies. And I came across with an art historian called Gizem Tongo, and she wrote an article about Eleni Iliadis, who lived before Ivi. She was born in 1870s, I think, and she was an artist who was also forced to migrate in 1922. And she was one of the very important artists, but we know nothing about her, basically. We know that she won a medal when she was in 1916, just before the Republic War, the Republic War, actually. And she was exhibited in Istanbul, and her painting was bought to one of the government institutions, actually. And she was very eager, Gizem, to find that painting, where it is, in which archive. And she told me that she found the painting thanks to this lady who was the head of the archive of Ankara Painting and Sculpture Museum. Because she was the woman, she let her see the picture, and the picture was all torn apart, not actually well kept. It was like hidden in the archives, but it's very, you should know that archives in Turkey are always very questionable. Either they're burned or they're drowned or they're always absent. So it was like rotting in the archive. And I learned that when I was in Athens in Onassis artist residency, I learned that she did, after she left to Athens, she moved to one of the neighborhoods where most of the migrants have moved, It was Nea Simirna, and she was teaching in the high schools and schools most of the times as an art teacher. But then she disappeared from Athens art circles as well, or like, and also Turkey's art, like art history, let's say. And somehow, very accidentally, there's another lady came up to me. Like, I saw another person, another artist, who was called Eleonora Arheleu. Eleonora was, I saw her photographs in one of the archives in Turkey. It's called, it's an art institution called SALT. And they have an archive with many, many images from architects, from artists. And they bought an anonymous archive from Greece, probably from Athens. And it was 6,000 images of Istanbul in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And these images are very, very, very important for an Istanbulite as well, because you see the change, how it's changed, how it gentrified, how neighborhoods have definitely, like, totally shaped shift, let's say. And they were taken, and the researcher who was trying to create the metadata, I met her, Görkem İmrek. She told me that, like, after a research, we found out that they were taken by Eleonora Arheleu, and I had the chance to talk with her. The head of the archive had, the director of the archive had the chance to talk with her. And when they asked, like, are you a photographer? How did you come? She said, we left in 1979, and she was born in Istanbul, went to school in Istanbul. Then in 79, they left by their own decisions. But as, well, in my family, there were a lot of people who decided to move abroad because there were better chances, better life options and stuff. And she came to see her grandmother through a fellowship that she found, and she was taking photographs with that fellowship. And she was, most of the time, she was taking photographs of her grandmother as well. You can see it in the archive. She was living in Sırasaybilir in Taksim, but she said in her interview that she was actually a painter. She was never a photographer, and I found her images in the archives in Athens, like what she was drawing and all. And she was most of that. She was also, by the way, was not a big name in Athens circles. And I met people who knew her, like curators and stuff, and they were saying that she was a bit timid and all. Anyways. So she was lost in Athens circles and Turkey, like the art history canon in Turkey as well. And more as I learned their stories, I realized that I will be lost very soon. My future is actually, it will repeat itself. I don't know what to do, but that's I feel like that's how the story ends. I did it just for myself to see that there were women actually. They struggled as I struggled when I had my baby, and they struggled as with their own identity as I did. What I did in the installation in Onassis, it's an ongoing project because I think I'm going to shift it towards a more layered thing. The first part was just researching about them. Was the installation consist of all of the archival imagery from the research that I did, and most of them are actually the neighborhoods that Eleonora had taken images of. And those neighborhoods are mostly minority neighborhoods, and they didn't change. The city hadn't changed. The cities, all those neighborhoods are still very minority populated neighborhoods, let's say. And these images also referencing to me as to them. And I have memories of these places, of these schools, of these churches, you know, all these streets, of these islands and stuff. So they were referencing to them and they were referencing to me. And there is like a silent, like a common history, let's say, between us. I was trying to find that. And I was kind of like, I realized that this was kind of responsibility of both of the countries, and they were both put a blind eye to it. And I wanted to show this whole Istanbul streets and Istanbul buildings in an Athens institution as well, because it's kind of, there's a history, common history there as well. So that's why it's kind of like a stage where you're seeing a lot of images of the institutions, mostly structures, sometimes people and paintings that I'm talking about, Evie's paintings and Eleonora's paintings, Eleni's paintings. And but it's kind of like a backdrop as well of a portrait picture. So in the 20s, 30s, 50s, when the most of the families that have high income, they would go to portrait photographers and take portraits of themselves and send it to people, you know. Classic. But this time, the portraits consist of Istanbul that was we all nostalgic to, but it's absent. The person is absent, and also that Istanbul is absent because these people are also missing. And there is this always this very, these identities, although they've disappeared, there's always this very exoticizing in Turkey, I would say, towards these identities, especially to gender case, now that it's very popular. People are just like, yeah, woman artists, let's call women. Like, nobody's doing an art show with all of the men's. Like, there's no nothing like that. But for women artists, oh, we have a woman artist, you know. This kind of tokenization of the gender, also the identity is there. But nobody talks about why it happened, why they were suppressed, why they were sent, what happened in between. And how do you take the victimhood, or how do you take the perpetrator? Like, how do you confront all of these issues? So nobody talks about that, but everybody wants to talk about the event. Anyways, so the stage is kind of also questions this in a way.
Your work unpacks so many layers, and I'd encourage people to go to larissaaraz.com, and you can learn about this particular work that you've been describing, Lost Reference List. Three points, specifically, thinking about art as evidence of existence and different experiences, and a context like Istanbul. The second point is that it's a city sort of on the edge of having enough resources to actually create a context where these archival experiences, these experiences that can be expressed through the exploration of archives, can live. But, you know, obviously there's also a dynamic in the world where, you know, if we're thinking about, let's say, Palestinian artists from a generation ago, you know, so many have been erased through colonization and dispossession, right? And so thinking about this on a global level, there is this dynamic of romanticization in the West where sort of quote-unquote lost artists from, for example, New York City or Paris would be so romanticized, right? But I think it's important for people to think about the importance of your work in opening up people's minds to think that there are so many quote-unquote lost archives, and also through extension, lost experiences in other parts of the world and other contexts. And that can be so important in informing a more deepening expansion of an understanding both of, you know, an important city like Istanbul, but also how we understand art in general. That was a conversation with Istanbul-based photographer Larissa Araz. This has been another edition of Free City Radio. We broadcast weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CGLO 1690 a.m. also in Montreal on Wednesdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m., on CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria on Saturdays at 7 a.m., on Met Radio 1280 a.m. in Toronto on Fridays at 5:30 a.m., on CKCU 93.1 FM in Ottawa on Tuesdays at 2 p.m., on CJSF 90.1 FM in Vancouver on Thursdays at 4:30 6:30 p.m. on CHMA 106.9 FM in Sackville, New Brunswick, on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. You can find our archives at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. We're also a podcast. Look us up. Just search Free City Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will speak with you